Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Stiefel Theater with Gillian Welch and David Rawlings, Friday, August 7th, celebrating their album Woodland and performances on Stephen Colbert and NPR's Tiny Desk. StiefelTheater.org.
83 degrees in Lawrence, 84 in Manhattan. The time is 6:06. You're listening to KPR.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, and many other frequencies all around the state. Always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us today. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines at 6:30, just about 12 minutes from now. Then at 6:36, tech stocks have been unusually volatile in recent weeks. Many analysts have been citing the unprecedented scale of investment in AI.
The market's overreacting to every piece of news because the market is looking for the answer to the big question, which is the data center build-out almost over?
The latest on this uncertainty, plus why the FIFA World Cup is not for sale, if European fans have anything to say about it. It's coming up on KPR. Stick around.
Support for KPR comes from Maselli's in Lawrence, announcing Final Friday at Artera with Susan Hancock, bringing the golden age of jazz to the stage, 7 p.m. Friday, July 31st. Cover at the door or online at Maselli's.com.
Following All Things Considered this evening on your KPR One stations, we have Classics Live. Music from the Sunflower Music Festival second concert, chamber music from 2025, the Debussy Sonata for flute, viola, and harp, the Incredible String Quartet by Samuel Barber, containing the very famous Adagio for strings. Also, one of my favorites, the Brahms Clarinet Quintet, Classics Live, coming your way at 7:01 on KPR One stations. If you're joining us on KPR Two, stay tuned at 7 o'clock for Prairie Journal. It's 82 degrees in Topeka, 81 in Emporia. The time is 6:20.
In Europe, in France, firefighters working to contain a huge blaze near one of the country's most important wine-growing regions. Correspondent Eleanor Beardsley gives us the latest from Bordeaux tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR station's Morning Edition. A great way to start your day with the latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Security Benefit, with a philanthropic focus extending to over 100 organizations, helping those in need and focusing on education, health, and the arts. More information at securitybenefit.com.
News headlines are coming your way in just about another 40 seconds. Stay tuned. Plenty more All Things Considered still to come. We're with you till 7 o'clock tonight. It's 83 degrees in Lawrence. The time is 6:30.
Jennifer Peterson says burn scars can cause floods for years after a fire moves through.
Any water that hits it is basically just going to roll right off the top and take any debris that is left over from the fire, meaning any ash and downed trees, limbs, all those things, and it just carries all that debris with it.
Monsoon rains typically last through at least August.
You are listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. The number of cyclosporiasis cases in the Sunflower State keeps rising. State health officials say 172 new cases were reported over the last week, bringing the total number to 461. Cyclosporiasis causes frequent diarrhea. Other symptoms include nausea and fatigue. Since May 1st, more than 6,700 cases have been confirmed nationwide, and another 11,000 cases are pending confirmation. The outbreak has been linked to contaminated iceberg lettuce imported from Mexico. It's now considered the largest known outbreak of cyclosporiasis in U.S. history. Supporters and opponents of a constitutional amendment on electing Kansas Supreme Court justices are making a final push in advance of Tuesday's election. The amendment vote decides whether Kansas Supreme Court justices will continue to be chosen by a nominating commission or be chosen by direct election. People who want to keep the current system say the amendment will bring partisan politics and big money into the state's highest court. But Sarah Stula, who worked as a research attorney with the state Supreme Court for 3 years, supports the change. She says lawyers already play politics, but without public oversight.
They're happening behind the scenes, out of the public eye, unaccountable to the people. So that's one of the big flaws in the system.
Critics of the change, however, note that interviews, applications, and nominating commission meetings are publicly available online. 16% of Americans are knowledgeable about grasslands. That's according to a survey commissioned by nearly a dozen environmental groups. The groups say that increasing the public's awareness of grasslands is a key step toward saving them. Brian Obermeyer is based in the Flint Hills as the Great Plains Grassland Strategy Director for the Nature Conservancy. He says prairies reduce flood risk, protect drinking water, and support declining bird species. They also feed people.
They support, you know, really important livestock industry. They are the ultimate source of some of our most important streams and rivers. Those watersheds that remain in grass really provide clean water.
Most of North America's grasslands have been destroyed to plant crops or for other uses. And the city of Wichita has been selected to host another national championship event, this time for one of the fastest-growing Paralympic sports. Visit Wichita announced today that the city will host the 2027 USA Boccia National Championship at Century 2 next summer. The 5-day championship will feature elite athletes from across the nation. It's a stop on the road to the LA Paralympic Games in 2028. Boccia is a precision ball sport similar to curling or lawn bowling designed for athletes with severe physical disabilities.
This is All Things Considered from NPR. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Next time on the Retro Cocktail Hour, we celebrate 30 years of the music that's shaken, not stirred, with the first of two concerts. First up, it's Exotica Cocktail. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Join me for the Retro Cocktail Hour, Saturday, 7 p.m. on KPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 99.5 FM in Manhattan, always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us this evening. We still have about another 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One stations tonight at 7:01, we have Classics Live, music from the Sunflower Music Festival. Followed by more classical music at 8, it's Jazz in the Night at 9. If you're joining us on KPR 2, stay tuned at 7 o'clock for Prairie Journal, followed by The Middle, featuring Jeremy Hobson.
Support for KPR comes from Porter Cattle Company, raising cattle near Emporia. Richard Porter is proud to support the goals and mission of Kansas Public Radio.
As far as the weather goes, if you're a person who likes humidity, you are in luck. If you're a person who does not like humidity, you are not. Tonight, humid conditions, lows in the lower 70s. Humid tomorrow, highs in the upper 80s, 40% chance of showers and storms. Tomorrow night, humid, low in the mid 60s. Saturday, humid, high in the lower 80s. 83 degrees in Lawrence. The time is 10 minutes before 7.
Intense heat and strong winds are fueling major wildfires across much of southern Europe. We hear the latest from French wine country on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Tune in tomorrow beginning at 5 a.m., 5 to 9. Morning edition is the program. Matthew Alchio will be your local host.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Resource Center for Independent Living, providing peer counseling, advocacy, and independent living skills training to promote individual choice to persons with disabilities. Details at rcilinc.org.
Thanks so much for joining us this evening. Up next, we have Classics Live, performances from the Sunflower Music Festival of 2025. We're going to hear some Samuel Barber. We're going to hear some Johannes Brahms and a whole lot more. At 8 o'clock, more classical music. At 9 o'clock, it's Jazz in the Night. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas State Fiddling and Picking Championships, presenting Don Flemons of the Carolina Chocolate Drops in Lawrence of South Park, August 23rd. More information at fidpick.org.
70% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Tonight's going to be humid with a low in the lower 70s. 40% chance of rain tomorrow with a high in the upper 80s. It's 7:01.
Welcome to the first night of chamber music from the Sunflower Music Festival 2025 in Topeka. Saved you a seat here in White Concert Hall. Welcome. I'm Cordelia Brown. Their program looks like we'll have a trio, a quartet, and then a quintet, starting off with the landmark piece for flute, viola, and harp, Debussy's Sonata. Thank you.
Thank you.
with festival harpist Rita Costanzi, flutist Karen Bogardis, and violist Orlando Wells. That was by Claude Debussy, his sonata for flute, viola, and harp. We're at the second night of the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival in Topeka. The stage is being reset for four string players here in White Concert Hall at Washburn for the Opus 11 String Quartet by Samuel Barber from 1936, with its third movement, also known as the famous and stunning Adagio for Strings.
Thank you.
Samuel Barber was only 26 when he wrote that. His string quartet, Opus 11, in three movements, the last one known better as the Adagio for Strings. Playing the whole quartet for us were four string players from the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival, violinists Eric Tanner and Alexander Mandel, violist Jonathan Merschel, and cellist Claudio Jaffe. Each summer now for decades, professional classical musicians gather from all over the country in Topeka, Kansas, staying here in a dorm at Washburn for a week plus of music making, rehearsing, teaching, and giving free concerts to the public in the evenings. The concluding piece on tonight's concert will be the Johannes Brahms Clarinet Quintet in B minor. featuring clarinetist Jonathan Gunn, with a string quartet of Charles and Rachel Stegeman, Basil Vendries, and John Waltz. Five musicians from the Sunflower Music Festival 2025. For Johannes Brahms, Opus 115, Brahms Clarinet Quintet. KPR is happy to record these concerts every summer so we can share them here on Classics Live to a wider audience. KPR's Chuck Smith was the recording engineer. I'm your concert mate, Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio.
If you want to know what's happening, you could pick up your phone and keep scrolling until you're dizzy. But to really understand, turn on Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Resource Center for Independent Living, with five locations across eastern Kansas in Topeka, Osage City, Iola, Emporia, and El Dorado, working to empower persons with disabilities. More at rcilinc.org. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump says that negotiators led by his administration have made an agreement for the disarmament of Hamas. As NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports, the administration says the Board of Peace, created by Trump last year, brokered the deal.
Trump announced the agreement in a social media post saying it will be carried out in phases. He said that as Hamas disarms, Israeli forces will withdraw from Gaza and an international force will work with Palestinians to take over public safety in Gaza. The administration characterized the agreement as fulfilling part of the 20-point plan to end the war that they announced last year. Last October, the U.S. brokered a ceasefire in the war. However, the Israeli military has continued to push into Gaza since then. More than 1,100 Palestinians have been killed since that ceasefire, the U.N. reported this month. A senior administration official speaking on condition of anonymity said they are confident Israel will adhere to the agreement. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News.
Meanwhile, the U.S. and Iran exchanged barrages of missiles today as the pattern of back-and-forth strikes took hold again and hope dimmed for a quick end to the five-month conflict. Following a few days of respite, fears of a wider war have grown, with renewed fighting threatening to engulf even more countries. Jordan says it intercepted Iranian missiles for the second consecutive day, while Kuwait said a strike there killed one person.
Two appeals courts today ruled against the Trump administration's policy mandating that anyone who enters the country without legal status be placed in detention. As NPR's Jimena Bustillo reports, the issue is expected to go to the Supreme Court.
The decisions out of the Ninth Circuit and Seventh Circuit Courts of Appeals argue that the administration is misunderstanding decades-old immigration law. The Trump administration wants anyone who entered the country illegally to be in immigration detention while their cases play out in immigration court. Under previous administrations, someone without a criminal record would generally be allowed to seek a bond hearing while their immigration case was pending. The approach has resulted in the prolonged detention of people who, in some cases, have been living in the U.S. for decades and a record number of people in detention. The Supreme Court is expected to take up the issue in its next term. Jimena Bustillo, NPR News, Washington.
Consumer spending is usually the biggest driver of economic growth in the U.S., and that continued this spring, according to new government data. But the spending is being driven by upper-income shoppers who feel good about their stock portfolios and rising home values, as NPR's Scott Horsley explains.
Lower-income consumers are not feeling so flush. You know, lately their paychecks have not been keeping pace with the rising cost of living, so they're having to dip into savings or put more of their spending on the credit card, and you can only keep that up for so long. You know, the savings rate, which was already pretty anemic this spring, fell to its lowest level in 4 years last month.
NPR's Scott Horsley reporting. Major U.S. stock indexes rose today, recovering some of their recent losses. This is NPR.
Stardate July 30th. Eta Aquila is big, bright, and unsteady. Over a bit more than 7 days, the star pulses in and out like a beating heart. That causes its brightness to change. How it changes makes the star a good standard candle, a type of object that astronomers use to measure the scale of the universe. Eta Aquila is a Cepheid variable, the first one ever discovered. Such stars brighten and fade in a predictable way. By timing the cycle, astronomers can determine the star's true brightness. Comparing that to how bright the star looks allows them to calculate the star's distance. Cepheids are bright enough to see hundreds of millions of light years away, in galaxies beyond the Milky Way. To go even farther, astronomers rely on another type of standard candle, the exploding stars known as Type 1a supernovas. Like the Cepheids, the way they brighten and fade reveals their true brightness. Some of them appear in galaxies with Cepheids, where we already know their distance. That provides a way to calibrate all of the supernovas, which can be seen from billions of light years away. Of course, it's all a little more complicated than that. There are different classes of Cepheids, for example, so astronomers have to understand all the details, making sure that a standard candle really is a good distance marker. Eta Aquila is high above the moon in early evening, near Altair, its constellation's brightest star. We have more sky watching tips and much more about the cosmos in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. I'm Billy Henry.
Rosso. Good evening. Thursday night here. Steve Seal with you, sitting in for Jake Armerding tonight. We're going to listen to a piece here in just a few minutes by a gentleman often referred to as the father of Native American classical music. And some interesting things from more recent times from America coming up, too. Now, here's something that is big in the mistaken identity file in classical music. It's a work by a composer named Roman Hofstetter, who was an 18th century German composer, but his piece that I'm going to play you was mistaken for the longest time for being something that Haydn wrote. And this is because Hofstetter was so enamored with Haydn's style that he came close to practically imitating it a lot of the time. And in this one case, he imitated it so well that people thought this piece was actually by Haydn.
Thank you.
The Serenade by, not Haydn, but Roman Hofstetter. Case of misattribution for many, many years. I Solisti Italiani performed. Always enjoy playing the music of Lewis W. Ballard. He was a Native American composer and artist and journalist. He lived from 1931 to 2007 and often referred to as the father of Native American classical music. He was of Cherokee and Quapaw lineage and had some pretty highly placed parents in both of those tribes, actually. This is his work, The Four Moons, played here by the Fort Smith Symphony, led by John Jeter. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Four Moons by Lewis Ballard, played there by the Fort Smith Symphony, led by John Jeter. Org. This is a piece called River by Jeff Beal, played here by Mr. Beal. Thank you. Beautiful. That's Jeff Beal playing his work, River. Red River Valley is a cowboy folk song of uncertain origins. It's gone by different names over the years. Cowboy Love Song, Bright Sherman Valley. This is American composer David Amram's setting of that song, a theme and variations on Red River Valley.
Thank you.
Music of the American composer David Amram, his theme and variations on Red River Valley, a tune known as different titles in American folk song history, In the Bright Mohawk Valley, Cowboy Love Song, and other titles, but Red River Valley, the most well-known title. Brooke Ellen Ferguson played the flute there. There is your first hint that you're hearing a tribute in this music by William Banfield. His Symphony No. 6 honors a handful of Banfield's musical inspirations, and one of them is Leonard Bernstein. But also Miles Davis, Dizzy Gillespie, Sarah Vaughan. We'll listen to the Symphony No. 6 by William Banfield coming up this hour. There's music of Damien Jeter and Jean-Baptiste William Dawson all coming up. I'm Steve Seal. Thanks for being with me. I'm going to start this hour with a very familiar tune that maybe you sang as a kid in school. How about that? Little nod to Handel in there, too. With the Jason Max Ferdinand Singers. That's Cedric Dent's arrangement of He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. Leonard Brown was the tenor as well. Good to be with you tonight. I'm Steve Seal, and we're going to enjoy a wonderful symphony coming up that is a tribute to some of the idols of composer William Banfield. His Symphony No. 6 will contain some familiar melodies and nods to the likes of Miles Davis and Dizzy Gillespie coming up. Harry Burley was a significant American classical composer who was also known for his baritone voice and, in many ways, the first black composer who was instrumental in developing characteristically American music. He made black music available to classically trained artists, both by introducing them to spirituals and by arranging spirituals in a more classical form. And he also is pretty significant in another way, in that he introduced Dvorak to black American music, which had a pretty big influence on Dvorak as well. This is Harry Burley's From the Southland Suites, Jubilee, played by Rochelle Sennett. Thank you. That's called A Jubilee from the Southland Suite by Harry T. Burley, played there by Rochelle Sennett. Our music is supported by Made In Cookware. Made In Cookware is crafted by chefs for chefs and designed for restaurants and home kitchens around the world. Their cookware can be found at madeincookware.com.
Welcome to Your Classicals Rhapsody in Black from APM, where we turn up the voices of black artists in the world of classical music. I'm Vernon Neal. Even when you think you have your life all mapped out, things happen that shape your destiny in ways you might have never imagined. Enter Damian Jeter. When you hear his story, you might think it was all mapped out. He was raised in a musical family. His mother was a singer, and his grandmother played organ. And he sang in his grade school choir. In junior high, he picked up the trumpet and moved up the first chair. He added drum major to his repertoire in high school. All the while, he was composing his own music, too. Now, you might think you know where the story is going. Damian certainly went on to study trumpet in college, right? Actually, when he enrolled at Old Dominion, he was an English major. But he said he felt a different path knocking at his chamber door. He knew in his heart that his destiny was in music, so he changed his major to music education. Now, this is where Damian's path took a turn not even he saw coming. In one of his first voice classes, everyone took turns singing America the Beautiful. The professor pulled him aside after class and told him he should take voice lessons because his voice had operatic potential. Damian took her advice. That journey found him singing major roles in opera, choral music, musical theater, and television. At the end of 2016, his path shifted again as the whole country reached a racial boiling point. Damian felt he needed to do something more as an artist. He pulled out his compositional voice and wrote a piece to reflect the times. An African-American requiem for orchestra, choir, and vocal quartet is based on the traditional Latin requiem liturgy. Jeter infused spirituals as well as a setting of Ida B. Wells' speech, "Lynching is Color Line Murder." In an interview, he said, "I felt like this composition would contribute not only to classical music, but would also talk about racial violence. A new piece with the subject matter that we all need to come to grips with." Infusing classical music with various styles from the black diaspora has become Damian's calling card. After his requiem, Jeter's career blossomed with a cascade of premieres, including his Justice Symphony in 2023. It incorporates iconic spirituals like Hold On, We Shall Overcome, and the black national anthem, Lift Every Voice, all offered up as a call for solidarity. Now, Damian Jeter's path is breaking down the barriers of what classical music should be. This is Rhapsody in Black from APM. With technical assistance from Cameron Wiley and support from Julie Yamacher, Elizabeth Iverson, Andrea Blaine, Kevin O'Connor, and Scott Blankenship. You can hear more on yourclassical.org or download episodes wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Vernon Neal.
Here's some of the music of Damian Jeter from his string quartet number one, Neo Soul. Play the music, or the movement here called Bop. Thank you.